We start these out the same way because although we do video on some of these today, we didn't have the time to bring in the giant video crew.
Okay.
You know, or even the miniature video. Yeah. Sometimes we bring in the little guys.
But not today.
But not today. We are just audio at this moment. So
that's
would you,
fine.
Which means you could be anybody.
I could be anybody. I've got my radio face on.
Your radio face.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, right. That famous, you have a face that's made for radio. Yes,
exactly.
I know that one well. Could you identify yourself, please, sir?
My name is Frank Turner, and I come from England. And I've come to this fair country to make friends.
So there's two things. The accent identifies the
yes.
UK part. And as far as it being a fair country,
this is a fair country.
You know that expression, fair to middling?
No, I'd say I'm a Yankophile?
A Yankophile.
Yeah, I describe myself as a Yankophile, hence my being here. It's nice to be here. It's the second time I've been to San Francisco.
That answers question number three,
okay.
But we'll get there.
I'm jumping ahead.
Your bio says you're continuing your one-man world domination.
That's the plan.
And a majority of my listeners don't know much beyond the music that they've heard, which, for better or for worse, the music that they've heard has been a couple of tracks off of this. Now, we know that there's a lot more. So you've played San Francisco. This is twice before.
Well, once before, which was in March last year. I did a show. I was passing through, and I did a show at Bottom of the Hill.
Ah, yes. Good little club.
Good little club with a local boy, a man called Jonah Matranga, who is a good...
We'll get there. You share a label with.
Yes, I do, in the UK, yeah. So, this thing, my plan for world domination has been quite sort of Anglocentric thus far, but the purpose of my being out here at the moment is I'm working on taking over America too. Obama and Clinton have another challenger. They don't yet know it.
I don't know if there's any challenge on any of this, but we'll leave the poll. It's just too sensitive.
Yeah, yeah. No,
people get so involved.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, that's good.
You just have a queen, and as long as she's alive and doesn't die, you know, it's kind of like, you know, and you have a prime minister that's retiring, and
we've got a prime minister right now who nobody voted for at any point.
Now, this tour, if I'm correct, you're doing LA and Sacramento.
Yes.
And so this is just a little drop by on your way.
This is a drop by on my way. Basically, the purpose, this is calling my current trip out here a tour is a little bit of a sort of like vanity project. I'm basically out here. I've been in LA for a little while and I'm here to the end of the month. And it's about kind of sorting out, you know, sort of deals and that kind of thing. And basically laying the groundwork for the proper US domination plan. While I'm here, it felt like a good idea to play some shows outside of LA to try and escape that little bubble for a little while.
I can't imagine why you'd want to do that.
I stumbled in. My first couple of days in this country this time around were amazing. I managed to stumble into just total rock and roll hedonism by accident. On the first night I was here, I got completely ruined with a friend of mine, an English guy who lives in LA, and then ended up within 24 hours, that was a Grammys party, and with no idea what I was doing there, and like no idea who anybody there was apart from the famous ones, and it was just, I don't know, everything. It felt very rock and roll. I felt like I was doing LA properly.
Well, LA can be very rock and roll.
Yes,
especially, you know, we talked off camera. You did the Viper Room last night.
Yes, which was very rock and roll.
And how is it to have the knowing that the room is papered, literally wallpapered with human beings that are listening to you for a completely different reason than all those other people that you will be playing for when you go back to England very shortly?
Well, you know, industry showcases are trying events, it must be said, and one often has to sort of like reach within oneself to find inspiration to put effort in other than trying to please the suits. But no, it was cool. It was fun to do. I mean, I think that I try and sort of remember that it's awesome that the fact of playing songs with my guitar has brought me to LA and brought me to the Viper Room, and I'm grateful for that. So,
is it strange to you when you go to play a song and you're well aware that in the UK it's been played quite a bit and it's been heard and people are showing up, and here these people are hearing it for the first time?
I find that refreshing, actually. It's kind of sort of rejuvenating for the material as well, because, I mean, you know, I love my job, I love playing music and stuff, but there gets a point where there's a song that you've played 9 trillion times and everybody knows it and everything else, and you start thinking to yourself, man, I wish I could ditch this from my set. But it's just nice to, it sort of makes, sort of, for example, with the lyrics, like, it makes you kind of think through them again and sort of like remember what it was you were trying to say rather than just kind of going through the motions. So yeah, it's really nice to sort of, and it, plus also, it means that I'm kind of like rediscovering my old stuff as well, if you see what I mean, because it's like in the UK I'm sort of, you know, moving forward with a new album and stuff like this, but the first record's not out over here yet, so I'm going back to old songs and going, oh wow, this, they're not bad. My first album's all right. I've been slagging it down because I've been concentrating on the new one, but it's actually not bad.
Let's do the 60-second version of the history. So should we go all the way back to your childhood? Should we start at knee jerk?
We can go further back than that if we got 60 seconds, right?
Well, you can do you're allowed to a minute and a half.
I'm going to watch the clock in this one.
Oh, no, okay? Don't do that.
No, come on. I'm going to do this 60 seconds. Okay, I'm starting now. Okay, so I was born in the Middle East because my dad used to work out there, but moved back to the UK. I grew up in the south of the UK in a town called Winchester. And lived in London for a long time. I grew up listening to hardcore punk. I'm talking about Black Flag. Although, in fact, Iron Maiden were my first love. Then got into Black Flag, played in hardcore bands, band called Knee Jerk for a while, which I'm surprised to hear you mention. And then I played in a band called Million Dead, who did okay in UK and Europe, but we never really came out to the States that much. But we sold a bunch of records and people came to our shows and clapped at the end of songs. So that was good. But then that broke up and I decided that I was tired of shouting at people I didn't know with my shirt off. So I decided to just give the punk thing a rest for a little while and shout at people with my shirt on instead and play folk, angry folk music. And then have been doing that, did sort of 18 months Woody Guthrie style touring on a train, which was a good idea when it started and then got really, really boring. Then put out records, got a band and everything, and now decided to come and take over the States. And that is me now. That was 60 seconds. There we go. Wicked. All right.
Listening to what I've got, mm-hmm. one would never know you were a hardcore artist or about Million Dead. And so audiences probably would be surprised if you, for example, were to do a Frank Turner's Greatest Hits and put a couple of Knee Jerk and Million Dead tracks on there next to the current stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe. Well, also, I think that, you know, hardcore is sort of it's a youth movement. It's about being young and angry and going crazy, you know. And
but there are some heavy metal bands that are still 50 that are still going out there and doing that, which is scary, by the way.
Yeah, that's it, you know.
You know, I mean, Kiss's makeup eventually is just going to get into the cracks
into the
of their
skin.
Face so much that it's just not going. Nobody they're going to look like clowns, you know.
Right. Start looking like clowns.
Yeah.
But I mean, well, you know, then Maiden are still going, and I mean, I'm still deeply, deeply in love with Iron Maiden, and I'm happy that they still do their thing. So, I think, you know, hardcore, I think it's a good thing that it's a kind of youth thing, you know, and it's about that sort of point in your life. And you just, it's just not possible to sustain being that angry at everybody all the time for that long, you know.
It's a lot of work being angry.
It's a lot of nervous energy in there. So, I guess at the end of the day, I think everybody sort of moves on. But then the other thing I was going to say was that I do think that certainly in the UK there's a long and illustrious tradition of crossover between punk and folk, and to, like, from everyone, Joe Strummer, like the Pogues, Billy Bragg, everyone, all that kind of thing, and that's something that I think sort of infuses kind of the punk scene in the UK, and so it's kind of, it's not quite as far out as it seems at first sight to go from playing kind of punk rock to playing folk music.
You have this new full-length coming out. That is, mm-hmm. now Extra Mile is a British label.
Extra Mile is a small, independent British label, and I have basically just totally lucked out with my label situation because it's a label that was set up a few years ago. They put out one record by Million Dead, and they put out all of my stuff, and basically, it's rare in this business to meet people who you can trust with your life, kind of thing, you know, and all the people who work there, I've known them all for years and years and years, and trust them to pieces, and they trust me as well. I've never had any kind of A&R involvement in what I do, never had a suit in the studio telling me how to write songs. Basically, I get given an album budget, and I get given a date when it needs to arrive, and that's it. That's the
record. Well, at least you get given an album budget, because a lot of people that are indie labels, it's called bring us the record and we'll let you know, and then we'll bring in a producer to fix it the way that we want to fix it.
No, they've got a little bit of money to play with and that kind of thing. I mean, you know, we're not exactly like we're millionaires, but you know, we can afford to to do stuff our own way, basically. And it's just really nice because they trust me to not sort of record an album that's kind of two tracks of experimental noise that clocks in at 74 minutes. And, you know, and I trust them to you know, do the right thing with my record and everything and promote it in the right way and everything else. So, yeah, I'm very, very lucky.
So I'm looking at this guitar, and I read that on the inner sleeve of the album, you have a memorial to your guitar of 7 years that was stolen in Finland.
In Finland.
So this one I'm looking at has replaced it?
This is, but though I never thought it could happen, it's not only replaced it physically, it's replaced my old guitar and my affections as well, because this guitar was built for me by a guy called Patrick James Eggle, who is, like, basically the top luthier in the UK, and he built this guitar for me out of wood from the village that I grew up in. So basically, yeah, that's me, the luckiest guy in the entire universe. I love this instrument.
And my question would be, does that instrument travel with three giant guys who protect it at all times now?
Pretty much, actually. Well, actually, I'm...
Given what has happened the last time around?
Well, no,
because that sounds like this one now, if you lost this
heads would roll.
No, I'm not trying to, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to jinx, I'm just saying.
No,
I'm just saying.
I'm very protective. Actually, I have a tracker chip fitted in the case, so if anybody ever steals it...
Serious?
Yeah, it's got GPS on it, so I can find this guy pretty much anywhere.
Here's our little, we're going to do a session.
Is this a surprise?
This is the surprise.
Okay.
Yes, I didn't wrap it for you very well, but yes, I'm sorry, I didn't have time to buy a card. As we set this up fairly fast.
I'm flattered by the surprise, whatever it might... Actually, I don't know, I should probably reserve my judgment.
You might just say, okay. That said, we've created a thing called a musical sandwich.
Okay.
And what the musical sandwich is two of your songs is the bread and songs by other artists in between.
Probably top it with a song called The Real Damage, which is I think I'm right in saying the first track on that CD that you have there.
That would be right here, yes.
Yes.
You're making my life easy so far.
Yeah. Well, and I'll probably tail it with the last track on that CD as well.
There you go.
So everyone can feel like they listened to it, which is a song called The Ballad of Me and My Friends. And then in the middle, how much stuff am I choosing here?
A pile. A stack.
Okay, we'll start with a song called Waiting for the Great Leap Forward by Billy Bragg. That's one of my favorite songs of all time ever, and a song that's been a very big influence on me and what I do right now. Then I think I'm going to have to say Thunder Road by Bruce Springsteen, because that's an awesome song. That's the cover of that in my set, actually, as it goes. So we'll go with that. Her on the spot. I'm going to pick a Counting Crows song. I'm going to do it. I learned to play the guitar to the first Counting Crows album, so I'm going to choose Anna Begins by the Counting Crows. I might pick a Black Flag song while we're here as well. I might pick Nervous Breakdown by Black Flag, because, I mean, I have the bars tattooed on my wrist, so I'm a fan, obviously. What's the name of the Christmas song by the Pogues? Bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
I'll pull it out. No problem.
Yeah, that actually just got back in the charts again this year.
I know.
There was the whole big kind of debate about a certain word getting in there.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty funny. Yeah, definitely. I might facetiously pick I'm So Bored of the USA by The Clash. I'm not, but you know, it's a great song. It makes a good point about English culture. So there we go. Jamie T. Do you know Jamie T? Yeah, he's a good friend of mine, and I think he's a genius. If I could pick one Jamie T song, I would choose, what's it called? Back in the Game. Because the thing is, having known Jamie for a while, you know, he plays with a full band now, and that's great, but there's just a charm to just him and a bass guitar, which is just, it's so unique, you know, and it's so brilliant. So definitely go for that Jamie T tune. I'll pick an artist who's just started to come out. He's another friend of mine who's just starting to come out in the UK. He's called Kid Harpoon. And he is, in my opinion, the finest songwriter working in the UK right now. He's just a genius. And a song called The Milkmaid that's I can't get enough of it, basically. So I will remind me and I'll send you the MP3 of that. And then finally, I would like to pick Neil Young's cover of Lonesome Me that's on After the Gold Rush.
Nice.
Because that's the best version of that song that I've ever heard. And I'm just total sucker for Neil Young.
Excellent.